throws. It is caught. Touchdown.
Drops back to third. It's picked up. Touchdown.
Shotgun snap. Under pressure. Ball is through.
This is the Mean Gene Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Welcome back, everybody. Hopefully you are sticking with us. If you are, that means that you enjoyed the first hour. The second hour is going to get a little bit more interesting, a little bit better. We have our What Had Happened segment coming up here. And we got an update from Seattle. The Seattle did get on the board. It's 14-3. They are struggling, Jacob. Geno been spending a lot of time on the ground there, what I just saw a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. It's not to be expected is the wrong way to say it, right? Seattle's a great team. I love the Seahawks. They have been on a Cinderella run for most of the season. But the Packers are a better team. They're better on paper. Their record is better. Their talent level is technically better. And there was only so much Seattle could do. This is a very similar offensive line to what they had last year that got Geno sacked a bunch. He's always getting hit. If he's not getting sacked, he's getting smacked in the mouth every play. I mean, the Packers are just a good team. I can't emphasize it enough. This is a team that nobody should want to play because they are scary. When they are hot, they are hot.
But believe it or not, for Seattle to have this 12th man advantage, it hasn't been much of an advantage this year. They are 3-4 at home. They're 5-1 on the road. This game would have been better off played in Lambeau Field. So look, they lose this game, then the Rams would be first place.
That is absolutely correct.
And the Rams right now, I think, guys, is probably one of the scariest teams in all of the NFL right now. Thursday night didn't show it as much, but we know that the Rams are really hot right now.
Well, see, I think Thursday night highlighted it. I mean, they took the Bills to the brink, right? Beat the Bills in a shootout, turned around, and then won a game of attrition against the 49ers, who, make no mistake, despite the injuries, are a very incredibly well-coached team, and they still have a lot of pieces that are very good at football. And they were able to come out on top in that. Sean McVay is a mastermind of a coach. And the Rams can do it. They're showing that they can win no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah, he's a great coach. And look, anytime you can win a game the way they won on Thursday night against the 49ers, who, by the way, if the Seahawks do lose tonight, the 49ers are rooting for the Packers because they are only – right now, 3 games out of first place with 3-4 games left to go. So this thing could get interesting. I think we can kind of shut the door on the 49ers.
Yes.
I think, you know, they've only won one of their last 5 games there. So but the Rams are the team to watch. And I would be worried if I'm the NFC that you're going to face the Rams in the first round of the playoffs because I think they are a scary team.
They have the talent, they have the bodies that they can really ruin a season for somebody if they're not paying enough attention.
Absolutely. So, all right, AJ, I think it's that time. I think it's that time to acknowledge the crappiest performance today as far as the NFL goes, which means the worst butt-whipping, whatever you want to call it. This is the What Had Happened segment here, and today it belongs to how about we just hear the what? Well, let's tell the people what had happened was it's all about there.
What had happened was
the Buccaneers beat the Chargers 40-17 in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium, and this is like breaking news here because this is the first time we've seen a Jim Harbaugh team get they-you-know-what handed to them and give it up to Bucky Irvin, give it up to Rashid White, give it up to my man, Mike Evans, who went off today with 9 receptions, 159 yards. Baker Mayfield, man, what a great game there. 27 attempts, 22 completions. Almost 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, and he always has that little complimentary interception in there. But this is, wow, I didn't see it coming.
No, Tampa Bay is a very good team, and I know that they're winning that division, right? Like they've been in either contention or the lead of their division. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are rolling right now. That two-headed monster they have at running back with Bucky Irving, out of the O, by the way. Let's go, Ducks. Bucky Irving, Rashad White have been terrific in the backfield. Mike Evans, despite losing Chris Godwin for the season, Mike Evans has still continued to lead this receiving core. Yeah. And it does feel like his veteran presence on the team, well, healthy, now that he is back from the hammy injury, he can lift the people around him. And Baker is playing lights out. I mean, when Baker's on, Baker is a top 10 quarterback in the league. And this is one of those things where Cleveland should be really upset with the decisions that they have made in the past.
Oh,
I mean, you look at
their quarterback situation now.
They bring in Deshaun Watson. They're like, we don't need Baker. And they brought in Deshaun Watson. That turned out great.
Here's Baker about to make his second consecutive playoff appearance.
Correct.
And win another division title, because I don't see it happening with the Falcons, who I picked to win that division.
Same. Yep.
So the Buccaneers are now 7-6, I believe. I think they updated already. 8-6
They are 8-6.
Okay, so I'm looking at some old information here. So look, so they are 8-6. So right now they are, first place. I think the Falcons beat the Raiders tomorrow night. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, how about this? This is incredible stuff. And I had a chance to talk to Mike Evans a couple of years ago when they went to that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy, you know, played his football there at Texas Tech.
Texas A&M.
A&M, I'm sorry.
Yeah, from Galveston.
Who was from Texas? Oh, it was Patrick Mahomes went to Texas Tech.
That's almost the same person.
I know. Great guy, man. He is just a sharp guy. One of the nicest guys you're ever going to find in the NFL. But like you said, to get that injury, I mean, it looked like the Buccaneers were left for dead.
Wash, yeah.
Yeah, it just really, with losing both their receivers, like you said. And
they look good. Man,
you know, but look, and this is crazy. Wouldn't it be just crazy when you look at the NFC South and the NFC West? I mean, these teams are barely making it over 500.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rams and the Buccaneers are some scary teams to face going into these playoffs.
They're both teams that have that it factor, right? I do believe that Todd Bowles is a good coach, just like it's not the same level. I do think Sean McVay might actually be the best coach in the NFL, but it's because he's a wizard, right? But Tampa Bay's got that it factor, right? Like, they are good at playing from behind, which is not something that every team can say.
Yeah, that's
and
that true.
There's so much grit on this Tampa Bay team. Like, they peeled off 27 unanswered points in the second half against the Chargers for this dub. Like, it was a good game in the first half. The Chargers looked good. Herbie was throwing well. They don't have a run game with J.K. Dobbins hurt. And I do think that was a large factor here.
Yeah, and then you get McConkey back, you know, and he just basically –
He had
an average game, you know, not a bad game. I actually had him in my other fantasy league there. How about that?
He scored a tutter for you.
So, hey, yes, he did. So, yeah, you're right. And Gus Edwards, you know, he shows up every five games, and this was just not one of those games.
No, not
where, at all. Where he could help the Chargers. But, man, this was just really – this is the worst whipping of Jim Harbaugh's, as a coach
memory,
with the Chargers. Yeah. And I think the Chargers bounced back, but, man, they just did not have it today. Only could put up 17 points there. They did get a touchdown from the TCU wide receiver, Johnston.
Quint Johnston,
how about
baby.
That? Yeah, he shows up in the stats.
I like that he's getting better. It does seem that he's being developed. And he had 10 targets. Like, Herbert definitely peppers him with targets. But it's nice to see him start playing better.
He DJ was deemed Shark? A
even DJ Jacksonville legend, DJ Chark.
Is he still around?
He sure is.
Oh, my goodness.
I love DJ Chark in Jacksonville. And, he's one of my favorites.
Palmer, this guy cannot catch a cold.
No.
It's like, what is going on with him? So I don't know. So the Chargers, bad game, not what you want to see, from a Charger, if you're a Charger fan. I tell you what, I remember the San Diego Chargers guys and that team right there. Used to be the bond. They only been to one Super Bowl. And that one Super Bowl that they made it, they just happened to go up against the 49ers who beat the brakes off of them. I think it was like 49-20.
Phil
and
Rivers.
It was the one year the Chargers would have won the Super Bowl had they not went up against Steve Young and the 49ers.
Exactly. And I mean, the Chargers, at least, you know, my generation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Chargers, Phil Rivers was one of the best quarterbacks that ever won a ring, right? Like, got to watch the greats like LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio.
You know, he had 9 kids, right?
Yeah.
So he'd play on Sunday, and I don't know what he did on Monday night, but he had 9 kids.
I could take a stab in the dark at what it might have been. Between him and Ty Hill, they were racing there for a bit. Oh, I think Ty Hill won that race too. But
I mean, look, and he is now actively coaching some of those kids in their high school. So they're great.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, right, small shout out, Teddy Bridgewater just won a state championship, you know, ex-NFL player. He got injured in Minnesota. His career never came back. That injury killed him despite being so talented. Teddy Bridgewater just won a state championship in Florida his first year as a head coach.
How about that?
And it was the dopest thing.
I met him in that Super Bowl where they forgot to give Marshawn Lynch the ball. That's when we met though. Teddy, good guy though.
Yeah,
just seemed like he just never got a fair shake. But he started. He was with the Vikings, and then I think he ended up with the Saints.
Yeah,
he just sort of traveled. Did he go to the Panthers too?
I believe he played for the Panthers as well. He hurt his knee in Minnesota and never rebounded.
But when I met him, the guy is so tiny. I'm like, Jesus, no wonder he gets hurt. Because, I mean, he's a real small guy. But, yeah, congratulations. How about that?
Congrats, that's good stuff. Teddy Bridgewater.
I'd like to see these ex-coaches here, these ex-players get out there and
coach the young kids. And coach. Spread the wealth and knowledge.
And look at one of the Heisman Trophy winners, Eddie George. He actually did good with his team. Mm-hmm. He got his college team. I can't remember the team he coaches. It's HBCU school. I want to say it's Tennessee State, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. But anyway, he did a great job coaching this year. Had a winning season.
It's cool to see him be able to.
Tennessee State, yeah.
Tennessee State. Okay.
It's cool to see somebody go from playing, right? You play for all these years, and you really do think that you have the knowledge to do it.
It's a tough
and then
job.
When you do it, like Adam Vinatieri coaches a team. Greg Olson, I believe, coaches a team. Teddy B won a state championship. Eddie George is doing well. Like, you have these players that are able to give back, and it is a really cool thing to see. I mean, Jeff Saturday coached the freaking Colts. They may not have won very many games, but he sure did.
He beat the Raiders when we were in Las Vegas. And I'm like, okay, that was his one major win there. Unreal. So, look, before we go to break, since we're kind of getting off on this coaching here, how about Tennessee women's basketball team? They played a game yesterday. And I'm trying to figure out who they went up against. They played NC Central. I have no idea where NC Central is, but they beat them 139-59. Okay, so now Tennessee is undefeated, 13th ranked in the country in women's basketball. NC Central 0-11. And I'm like, Coach, why did you schedule that game?
No kidding.
Did you not see this train coming?
That's like when UConn lost, what was it, like one game in 8 seasons, and they had people scheduling UConn to come out? That's a lot of points in basketball, though.
That is bad, and I've been on the losing end. I think the worst loss I ever got as a coach of women's basketball was 50, and you don't want to be that's an uncomfortable feeling. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. When we come back, we are going to get into more scores from Week 15 of the National Football League here on the Mean Gene Show, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, folks, we are moving right along here in the second hour of the Mean Gene Show with Jacob Meadows and our producer, AJ, on the wheels and stills. AJ, did you ever DJ at a nightclub?
No. I'm just 22.
I mean, you do a hell of a job back here behind the glass there. I'm thinking about having you at my next party. You know, you keep this up here, man. This is some good stuff here. So, all right, it's that dreadful moment in the show where I have to talk about my team, which is not always. Look, at 10-4, the Pittsburgh Steelers are still in first place in the AFC North. They go to a place where they have not won since 1965, and that's Philadelphia. So, look, I don't know if people – and when I saw that stat, and believe me, to this moment, I have not fact-checked that, but it sounds pretty good because here's 2024, and they still didn't win today. They go to Philadelphia and lose 13-27. I had – predicted that the Eagles would win this game. Mm-hmm. I think me and Dustin Fireford both did. But I don't know. Russell Wilson didn't have a bad game, but he didn't have a great game. Only 128 yards, which shows they clearly missed George Pickens.
I think this game might look a lot different if George Pickens isn't out. Honestly, yeah, I mean, you can say what you will about him, and there's been so much drama surrounding him on and off the field. But George Pickens is a terrific receiver, definitely the best receiver in Pittsburgh, and it showed today against Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of drama, how about the relationship between AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts there? I mean, AJ today had 8 receptions, 110 yards, and a touchdown. I think we got a soundbite. We got a soundbite from A.J.
Hurts in the gun. Barkley to his left. A.J. Brown out to the far side by his lonesome. Hurts this time backs up. Look, fires complete. A.J. Brown in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, look, I tell you what. These guys, you know, they really don't get along that well. You know, he threw his quarterback under the bus. Not more than once, I think.
Yeah, it's been more than once. And, I mean, it's not like he's not coming out and he's just like, Jalen Hurts sucks. But he does take some jabs.
Yeah, he does. He does. So this was all about A.J. Brown today, which, man, you know what, guys? When I think about how good the Tennessee Titans could have been, I mean, right. You just go back a couple of years ago when the Titans were the cream of the crop in the AFC South division. And how they just train wrecked that organization. You had A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. You had Derrick Henry. And how the hell did you not make the playoffs there? They were never the same when the Bengals went in there and beat the brakes off them. And the Bengals went to the Super Bowl that same year. And they just somehow dismantled this whole team in a matter of three seasons. And man, I don't know. But look, A.J. Brown goes to the Eagles and look. He's doing what we expected him to do.
Doing great. He's flourishing with the Eagles. And this was a good game for the Eagles because Jalen Hurts, I mean, there was all this stuff coming out right before the game about how he had a broken finger. He's got a bandage on his hand. And then Jalen Hurts came out. This was one of his best pure passing games that he's had all season. Didn't have to rely on the tush push. Like, he still ran a lot, right? 15 carries for 45 and a touchdown. But it wasn't the onus of the game. Jalen Hurts was putting the ball in the air. Devonta Smith had a great game. A.J. Brown had a great game. Kenneth Gainwell didn't look bad in the air. And this was a game that Philadelphia needed to put on the books to remind the rest of the league that Jalen Hurts can actually throw the ball and throw it with efficiency, and he can drop that ball right in the breadbasket for whomever he pleases on any given down.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't know what's going to happen in the NFC with the Eagles. I mean, this was a good win for the Eagles. Pittsburgh just couldn't get it done offensively, even though that defense continues to show up. But this is probably one of the worst games defensively, even from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Patrick Queen had a real good day on the field today. About time to see something from him. Somebody other than T.J. Watt, who sometimes the Steelers seem like a one-man show. But that run game, they just couldn't get it done today. Question why I started Warren today. I figured, well, you know, I didn't know I had Bucky Irvin sitting on the bench, though. I mean, sometimes it pays attention. It means a lot to pay attention to your lineups.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you basically telling me I left Bucky Irvin and
Brian Thomas Jr.
on the bench. And how that happened, I just don't get it.
That's what happened for sure.
That's what had happened was. Yeah. You think that should have been the segment? Because I think I was so concerned about my other league that I just – because I started Bucky Irvin in my other league.
He forgot about the sleeping giant, AJ. Yeah.
I mean, so how do you start this one player in one league and not the other league and you got the same freaking player?
I don't know.
That's exactly what I did. Probably too much Crown Royal. This is why you don't drink. This is why you don't drink and set your lineups either, right? So – anyway, so Pittsburgh Steelers dropped to 10-4, Eagles 12-2, and man, are we still on pace for a Philly Detroit showdown in late January?
You know what? Now that Detroit has fallen today, we could potentially see Minnesota take that division.
Ooh.
That is now going to be one of the biggest games of the final stretch,
and that's why that win today for Detroit. We'll talk about that here in a minute. That's why that game was very important.
There was. Detroit definitely needed to not fall to the Bills. The fact that they did has opened up a massive can of worms for the NFC. And now, everybody can look at these teams and say that the Lions are probably the best or second best team in the NFC. But it doesn't matter what you know. What matters is, you know, where the seeding falls. And with this loss. And
we'll talk about that in the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the NFL standings and look at some possible playoff scenarios and kind of get you up to date on who clinched and what needs to happen for your team to clinch or win or whatever. How about the next game here? We have the Denver Broncos, the 9-5 Broncos now. They defeat the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are now 6-8. Probably no chance now. Well, we already know that they won't make the playoffs.
They can't.
Because
locked up, baby.
Locked the Texans
did it for
locked
the
up the AFC South today. But this was an interesting game here. I tell you what, Bo Nix did not have a good game at all. Probably his worst, I think.
Probably. See, morphed into Jameis Winston. He played him, and he was like, you know what? I really like that guy. So he put up a very similar stat line.
How does it feel throwing the ball to the other person? So anyway, so Bo Nix, three interceptions, three touchdowns. That helped him, though. That's the only thing with Jameis. Jameis usually has one touchdown and five interceptions. Yeah. So at least he was, you know, 50-50 here. But they get it done. Anthony Richardson, horrible game. 17-38 there. 172 yards, two interceptions. Jonathan Taylor, AJ, can you tell our listeners what Jonathan Taylor did today?
So basically he broke away for a touchdown thinking it was easy and he dropped the ball before the byline, so it was a touchback. I hate when that happens, especially a player like him, one of the best backs in the league.
A player like him, man. A running back.
Exactly.
Now, you know,
an elite running back
right.
is what it is.
Yes.
A proven
who knows?
Veteran who's great at ball.
Who knows what needs to be done?
Boneheaded.
Showboating,
yeah.
Basically, you know, and Jaleel McLaughlin, you know, he probably had the best running today, if you want to call this the best. 7 carries, 21 yards. How did the Broncos win this game? I'm trying to figure out. It must have been a defense.
That terrific defense. And they do have a
good
defense.
Because offense, nothing happened.
This is one of the worst games by the Denver Broncos this season.
And they won it.
This is why they paid Sean Payton. I have not been shy of stating that he is definitely not my favorite coach in the league, but this is why they paid Sean Payton to come to Denver, because he can do stuff like this. There were most certainly times with the Saints way back in the day mm-hmm. where Drew Brees would have a bad day and they had no run game they could fall on. You know, maybe Deuce McAllister was just under the weather or whatnot, whomever you want to name that was in the backfield. But that defense was able to just...
But it all fell apart in the fourth quarter. You know, the Colts led this game to all the way through three quarters.
Oh, yeah. No, this game really highlighted the fact... This was one of the biggest knocks on Anthony Richardson coming out of college, right? He's a developmental player. He's not ready to play at the next level. And it's been highlighted a lot this year after he came back from his injury. But, I mean, it's just one of those things, like, he's a bit too hasty as a passer. He misses throws. He can launch a beautiful deep ball. It's just never – there's no guarantee of who's going to be under it when it reaches the ground. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, despite how good this Indianapolis Colts defense is, pretty good. You can't tell by the final score, but their defense is pretty good. And they just – they got worn out.
Yeah, they – look, so, hey, how about the connection between Bo Nix and Courtland Sutton is unbelievable.
The chemistry that they've been able to develop is really mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. good for Bo Nix. It's good for Courtland Sutton, and it's good for this offense. They needed it. And beyond him, Marvin Mims, 4 targets, 4 catches, and Marvin Mims has been a guy that's come on pretty strong here the back half of the season so far.
So it's Vele, and he nothing for him today. Not just targeted mm-hmm. one time. So some of these guys, Humphreys, some of the guys that have really contributed to this. Nothing. And you didn't even get anything from the running game. Look,
no.
Javonte Williams, and I thought about starting him in one of my leagues, and I'm like, come on. Look, 6 carries, 15 yards is unbelievable.
The Broncos are a team that's like the Cowboys right now, licking their chops, hoping that Ashton Jeanie falls to them in the draft.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. He's not going to drop to the Broncos. So that's
they
can
trade up.
Yeah, they can try to, but Jerry better not be dumb and He better. They better. Hopefully, the Cowboys go 6-11. They need him desperately because how Rico has looked too. Them together would be good.
But that would be nuts exactly. With as good as Rico's been lately.
Exactly. So we're looking at the Ashton Jeanty sweepstakes here, huh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, you know the well. Okay, we already know that more than likely the Raiders and the Giants are going after Shedeur Sanders. Is that
Shedeur should go to the Raiders, hopefully. I mean, hopefully. And then Cam Ward would be for the other team position.
Cam Ward would go to the Giants.
I feel bad for Cam there, too, because he's walking in. It's just like at Miami. Miami would be a player in the playoff if they had a defense of any sort. He's going to walk into New York, and he's going to have possibly a worse team than what he had at Miami.
I know. How about the James Conner, Kyler Murray should probably buy him a steak dinner.
You're not kidding.
Yeah,
a couple.
So, the Arizona Cardinals, who are at 500 right now, 7-7, they defeat the Patriots 30-17. So this was expected, but what was also expected was that Murray would have a better game. And I tell you what, we'll take a break. And we'll come back. I like teasing folks like that. And we'll talk more about this Cardinals-Patriots game because there's some interesting things that happened in that game. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Right there. All right. We are moving right along here. Bottom of the second hour here. Only 30 more minutes to go. And look, and the 30 more minutes means a lot because it's the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys should know that, we have our family and friends. We're going to spend time with it. So this is our last show for 2024. Now, we will be back in January. Now, Jacob and I both have our separate shows that you can listen to our podcast. Jacob will be hosting the Coach's Quarter podcast. So he definitely will be keeping up with weeks 15 and 16 and 17.
We will. And for everybody that tuned in to the Mean Gene Show last week when I was up here, quote unquote, solo, when Mr. Mean Gene was away, the guy that I brought with me to the studio, Mr. Bryce Shepherd, he will be live for the Coach's Quarters, should be for the remainder of 2024. Probably going to be bringing him on a little bit more in 2025. So we'll be back together on the Coach's Quarters that you can find on Spotify or Amazon Music, I'm pretty sure, Apple Music, basically anywhere where you can listen to a podcast, I am signed up to be played. So anywhere where you search the Coach's Quarters, you will find me.
Okay. And as far as Mean Gene, now you can catch me on the Sports Kings NFL Weekly podcast with Dustin Pfeiffer, who is a regular here. Dustin covers the Carolina Panthers for FanDuel Sports Southeast. So we will be on podbean.com. You can catch us there or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, really. So we will definitely be on for the next couple of weeks, but we will not be on live on radio here at ESPN 97.5. So AJ, we're going to miss you, man.
Oh yeah, y'all be missed too. And then for the audience, for me, you can check me up on YouTube at AJ Russ. Yeah, subscribe.
You gotta get AJ. That's right. So that's what's happening. So we, a little bit excited here because we get to. Have you done all your Christmas shopping?
Yeah, I have finished all of my Christmas shop. I've had nothing but time, Gene.
Are you serious?
I start a new job in January. I haven't had a job the last couple months. I've had nothing but time, baby. Christmas shopping was easy this year.
AJ, have you completed all of your shopping?
A majority, most of it. So yeah,
responsible. You guys are pretty good now.
Responsible young man.
Look, I have done for the grandkids. It's just
that's what matters.
To make it. Like, it's so easy to get gift cards, which you have to be careful about the scams out there with the gift cards.
Yeah.
It just seems like the gift cards is a lazy way. I like to personalize, and it takes me longer. I will be shopping until Christmas Eve like I normally do.
It's just too easy otherwise.
I like the excitement of being out there. No, I want that last one.
It's an adrenaline rush.
And I might catch a sale. If I can wait till the 24th, something that costs $200, now it might be down to $75. I want it. I'm just like that, okay? So there's nothing wrong with a deal. So anyway, That's what's going to be happening, okay? So, look, right before we broke, AJ, we have any comments in the because I was trying to look at some comments here on our YouTube. Who do we talk with? I can't remember his name.
I don't remember the name.
I don't see anything right now, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah, he's always on, and we hate to not acknowledge our listeners out there, especially the ones that kind of communicate with us behind the scenes there. But anyway, if you anything we need to respond to, AJ, let us know, because I can't see anything. But we were talking about the Cardinals and the New England Patriots. It was confirmed that Robert Kraft is going to bring Jared Mayo back as his coach next year. So he's not a one and done type of thing.
Deservedly so.
And but the Cardinals are 7-7, and they still have an outside chance to win this NFC West division, which there's only going to be one team that win that division.
Yes.
And it looked like it's going to be a race all the way down to the wire. But Kyler Murray, no touchdown passes today. None. Zero. Okay. But yet they found a way to put up 30 points thanks to James Conner, who I think the Pittsburgh Steelers made the worst mistake in letting this guy walk. He went to college at University of Pitt. Mm-hmm. So he was familiar with that. You know, I have been to the Pittsburgh Steelers facility, so they share it with the University of Pitt.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's just familiarity and everything. All of that's right there. But anyway, James Conner. Big day today, 16 attempts, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns, man. He busted one for 53 yards, which he hasn't done in a long time.
He's a remarkable running back. And then, you know, he's kind of a two-headed monster. They don't have a second back that just plugs it in, outside of Kyler Murray, who is a terrific running quarterback. But Trey McBride, the tight end down there in Arizona, has come on real big. And between Trey McBride and James Conner, you know, it's one of those things where – Kyler only has to do so much, and those guys can really take a game into their hands, and it has played to Arizona's benefit most of the season.
One of the reasons why the Patriots did not win this game, they were 0-6
on third downs.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win.
You got to get a third down. I mean, that's just a rare stat that you see in the NFL.
It's growing pains, though. I mean, I do think New England's going to be a much better team when they come back next year. Drake May's got an extra year under his belt. I think they'll be able to load up on a little bit of talent free agent.
They could get Travis Hunter.
Exactly. Like, yeah, there are things that can be at play here for New England because, it, like you said, the Raiders and the Giants probably going after a quarterback in the draft, and that's going to leave the skill players that New England needs. They're going to have basically the cream of the crop to pick from in terms of skill position players. So they are going to be an interesting team to watch over the offseason.
Yeah, they will. So anyway, I'm glad to hear that they're going to keep Mayo, and let's just see what happens here because, you know, I think Ramondre Stevenson didn't have a bad day. Drake May is still, I would say, the future of that franchise. Give them another opportunity to work together and let's see what could happen. So, all right, this next game here, folks, I tell you what, it lived up to the billing. This game right here was marketed as a possible preview to Super Bowl 59, which, by the way, is going to be in New Orleans February, I want to say 9th, I think. Yeah, I think that's when Super Bowl, February 9th, 2025 in New Orleans. I mean, crazy. You got it. You had the Buffalo Bills, who have just been showing out this year, going up against the Detroit Lions, who have been showing out. This thing, I mean, this was a great game. I know CBS didn't want to give it up. I think was this the Tony Romo and Jim Nance game? So they did not want to give this game up. This game could have easily been flexed to Monday night or Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it got caught up in the late afternoon games. But anyway, how about the score here? Buffalo Bills go into Detroit and beat the Lions 48-42. And the Lions, this was a loss that they could not handle because now they are tied with the Minnesota Vikings. They own that tiebreaker, but I think they got another match.
They have another match with the Vikings.
Yes. So this is, man, just incredible. Just incredible.
The scriptwriters got it right with this one.
A
lot of drama at the back end of the season. This great teams. Now Detroit's got to fight for the division that they've held on to all season. But, it, I mean, this, like you said, this lived up to the hype. The biggest difference in it was the ability for the Buffalo Bills to establish a run game, right? James Cook had a terrific day. Josh Allen's an athletic quarterback. Jared Goff runs a 15-second 40. He had a couple of runs. He looks goofy when he takes off, but he had a couple of first downs on the ground. But it, the run game was the difference here. I mean, both teams played well through the air. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like you were talking about earlier, targeted 18 times, caught 14 passes for a $1.93 and a touchdown. Sam Laporta had over 100 receiving yards. Gibbs was right there behind him. But it, David Montgomery was a shadow in this game. He did absolutely nothing, 5 carries for 4 yards. And it just, they, the Bills came angry. They lost the game to the Rams last week in a shootout.
Yeah.
And Buffalo showed up today in Detroit and was like, not, there's no shot. No shot that we're going to do this again.
Monumental. Look, not to mention, hey, they said, man, we don't have to shovel in the snow. Are you kidding me? Yeah, let's take this.
Right.
Let's take this win here. But look, Josh Allen. This guy, he looked like the old Lamar Jackson there. He cannot stay out of the end zone.
God,
he just loves running the freaking ball.
He's so good. And I mean, part of you may you kind of have to feel bad for his running backs, right? Because at a certain point, as a running back, that's your job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, your job is to run the ball and score points. Mm-hmm. But when Josh Allen's your quarterback, Josh Allen's just as good as any running back in the league at running the ball and scoring yards. Points. Yeah, he's incredible on the ground. And that, I mean,
crazy.
It's beautiful.
And 362 yards in the air, you know. And but how about this, man? The Detroit has to do a little bit better with Jared Goff. Now, look, he put the ball up 59 times.
That's too much.
That is entirely too much for almost 500 yards,
though. He had a great game.
He had a great game. Five touchdowns. Unbelievable. I'm surprised that quarterback rating isn't higher than what it is. I mean, because these are crazy stats, though. Unbelievable stats. But for some reason, look, you get two receivers over 100 yards. That's incredible. And
one of them almost had 200 yards.
This was a game that I tell you what, they needed to win this game because, like we said, they have to face the Minnesota Vikings again, who play tomorrow night. We'll be talking about this in a little bit. Vikings fans are like, yeah, we take this one.
Well, the Vikings players have been talking about for weeks now. They're like, we don't know why everybody's only zeroing in on the Lions and talking about the Lions. Like, we've been here all season. They've got two losses. Like you said, we'll talk about them here in a bit. Mm-hmm. But Minnesota's that sleeping giant in the background of the Lions, and now that they are tied for record purposes, I think there's a media pundits included are going to have to take Minnesota a little bit more seriously.
They will. I tell you what, man, what a great game. So, look here. We are going to break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, man. We just moving right along here.
24, baby.
All right. We will wrap it up here. Folks, once again, you listen to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, folks, the final segment here of 2024. Man, I know it's what, the 15th of December already, and we cannot wait to get back here for the NFL playoffs, which, Jacob, we were just taking a look at how the NFL playoff picture look right now. So over in the AFC, so you already got the Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, and the Texans, right? I think they are pretty much locked in.
So the Chiefs, Bills, and Texans have already clinched their division. Technically, the Steelers are still, you know, up in the air since the Ravens are only one game back.
Right.
But the Steelers have already clinched a wild card berth at worst. Okay. So that's what's up in the air.
So that's and over in the NFC, you got just the Lions and the Eagles, right?
Just the Lions and the Eagles, and all they have clinched is wild card. The divisions are still up in the air.
Yeah. So now teams that are in the hunt, the Seahawks would be one of those teams tonight. If they win tonight, they probably even have a 70% chance, according to NFL.com, to get in there. Buccaneers still in the hunt. The Vikings and the Packers and the Commanders.
And the Commanders. Commanders are one of my favorite teams this year. Not just because I've been hating on AJ all season and the Cowboys. Jaden Daniels is exciting, dude. Cliff Kingsbury was a dud as a head coach. terrific OC, and the Commanders under Dan Quinn have looked spectacular. And, They're the most fun team to watch.
And Cliff Kingsbury might be the next coach of the Chicago Bears. Who knows? I mean, we should, the Bears are going to make a desperate push for him. So
I hope not.
The AFC in the hunt, we got the Ravens, the Broncos, and the Chargers. So I really think that AFC picture is going to look basically like what we're looking at right now. I think you're going to have the Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, and Texans, all your division winners. And I think your wild card teams are going to be the Ravens, West, Broncos, and the Chargers. So how about that? So you get three. We didn't see three teams coming out of the AFC West.
No, I thought the Broncos would suck, right? I thought the Raiders were going to be better. This is one of my worst beats of the season, is I thought the Raiders were going to be good, and then I thought the Broncos were going to be bad. And Bo Sticks, right, came into Denver. They look fantastic. I think the Broncos could have potentially upset somebody in the playoffs, which, I mean, deservedly so. Sean Payton has done a great job with that team.
Now, here's some teams on the bubble, which means they have a slight chance. Colts, 10% chance, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins, Bengals. The Bengals, there's no chance at all there. But
the Bengals
are
the best team in the bubble, though.
They're the best team on the bubble. They have not been ruled out, basically, is what we're trying to say. Over in the NFC, you got the Rams, Cardinals, Falcons, 49ers, Dallas Cowboys.
Whoop, whoop.
1% chance there, AJ, they're giving the Cowboys.
No point.
And the Saints. No. Now, these teams have been eliminated. The Jets, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Patriots, the Raiders in AFC. And over in the NFC, the Bears, Panthers, and Giants. Those teams are eliminated, which means nothing they can do but play spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
But the teams that are in the bubble, believe it or not, even though those percentages are low, they still have a chance to get into a wild card. So that's why, you know, these games are going to be important down the stretch there. So did I give an update on the Sunday night game there?
You did not. Green Bay.
Looks like we have Green Bay is – that game is – they just wrapped up the halftime. They're in the third quarter now. It's 20-3, the Green Bay Packers over the Seahawks. So this – the Green Bay needs to win because they could be outside looking in with a winning record. They could be outside looking in. But I think Green Bay gets – at least a wild card.
I think Green Bay gets a wild card.
It'd be shocking for them not to get a wild card. So there's your latest kind of like playoff situations there. And I tell you what, we got two Monday night games here. We need to make predictions on. So Bears, as we just talked about, eliminated. They take on the Vikings tomorrow. The Vikings, just knowing what happened today in Motown, they want to win. I think this is going to be an ugly game here. So, first of all, when we talk about two Monday night football games, people want to know why. All right. So, basically, media rights allow for Disney, which owns ABC and ESPN, to increase from the previous 17 games to now 23 games. So, they got 6 additional games on the Disney network there, or ABC, whatever. So, they had to find a place for those 6 additional games, and that's why we have, you know, I think this is what, our third
Monday night doubleheaders. I like the doubleheaders on Monday, though. I enjoy having two games on Monday.
I disagree with the start times, though.
I don't like
that they run them 30 minutes after each other. Mm-hmm. So look, unless you have a man cave like mine,
you're one or the other.
You can't. I can watch all two games at the same time, but. I mean, you have to go to a bar if you really want to see both of these games. And one of the things that I think they had, the reason why they run them concurrent like that, because they have to really, you know, be considerate of the East Coast.
Yeah.
Because who wants to start a game at 10 o'clock?
On a Monday night.
Yeah. So that's the problem there. AJ, what do you think about that?
Yeah, nah, same. I agree. I mean, it depends on the matchups, too, though. I mean, it's going to be cool seeing the Vikings, I guess, but like y'all talked about a second ago, like off of here, y'all think that the Falcons are going to blow out the Raiders. So, I mean, like,
I think it's going to be an ugly game.
Yeah.
It's.
I do think Chicago could potentially beat Minnesota.
It'd be interesting. Yeah.
This is just me playing devil's advocate.
That would make Detroit.
That would crown them.
So, redemption.
And the only reason I think it would happen is because Minnesota sees Detroit fall and they get this, they start smelling themselves, right? Like they're like, all right, we got this. And then they come into this game against a team that's been a dud almost all season, against Caleb Williams, who's had some pretty bad games as of late. Their defense has not been lights out, right? Minnesota's been a second-half team for most of the year, and I could see Chicago using this game as their big hurrah going into the offseason, right? Saying, hey, division game, our last division game of the year.
Spoiler.
We're going to bring the Vikings down, and I think they could. I think you could see Keenan Allen have a big day. I think Rome Dunze might have a big day. DeAndre Swift's been cooking lately. DeAndre Swift could get going.
But do they want to win? Because they might get a decent draft pick next year as well. I mean, do they really want to win?
I mean, realistically, they're not going to lose.
I think they
want to
stick it to their division, though.
I think they're going to stick. If it was out of division, I think they would let it go. But because it's the Vikings.
I think they want to stick it to them.
I think Chicago's going to play their absolute tails off. And I think it could catch Minnesota off guard.
So Kirk Cousins could come out of his slump tomorrow and take it out on the poor Raiders, who really right now, and bad news there.
Max Crosby.
Having to get the leg surgery.
Oh, I missed that.
And he's out for the rest of the year.
Oh, that sucks.
So that's really bad for the Raiders. The only positive spot they got there is Brock Bowers, who
phenomenal.
Regardless of who's quarterback, they're going to get the ball to Brock Bowers. They absolutely have no running game. Just really, you know, but Kirk Cousins, I mean, look, if he's going to come out of his slump, he's going to come out of his slump. Any chance tomorrow we see Michael Penix?
I hope so. I mean, they took him in the first round. It was something that made a lot of people scratch their heads, right, because they just paid Kirk so much money. The only reason I would say that we might not is because, theoretically speaking,
a tight division.
They could still win the division.
Yeah.
I don't think that they unseat the Bucks, and I think the last week of the year we'll see Michael
Penix.
Well,
look, if they lose tomorrow to the Raiders, then they might as well start Michael Penix. If Kirk Cousins come out and have another horrible game like he has had over the
second half,
get rid of the ball, Geno. Okay, so I got carried away there. I did, you know, I saw Geno. I wanted to help him out there. I can't. Oh, there's holding. Oh no. Okay. So anyway, I got the Falcons winning, and I got the Vikings winning. I'm going to stick with those picks here. So
right there with
you. Look, tomorrow night, I have been invited to appear right back here on the Mr. Gow, who is the CEO and owner of ESPN 97.5. He has a show on Monday night.
Congratulations.
I am his guest tomorrow. I have no idea what the hell I'm going to talk about. Probably some of the same things we talked about tonight. But, you know, AJ and Jacob, you know, I'm going to be a little nervous there with the boss, man. I don't think I can, you know, get away with saying some of the things I say.
You'll be fine. Talk about music. You've got some bangers.
Well, yeah, because
in your
his show
pods.
Is not always about sports, though. You're right. So who knows what we're going to talk about tomorrow. But anyway, I was told that one of our guests tomorrow night is going to be former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf.
That's a dope interview.
He has a great show on Sirius XM. He comes on with Solomon Wilcox. He's out there. He has one day a week. I think he does a show called The Opening Drive with Solomon Wilcox. So it used to be here with Gal Media. He had a show on here years ago. So it should be exciting. But anyway, we're about to wrap it up here. Fantasy football playoffs. Good luck. Jacob, good luck tomorrow night. I know you got Drake London, so I don't want Kirk Cousins to have a good game. AJ, man, you have a happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, same to y'all.
Before we sign this off, I just want everybody to know that I am beating Gene 165-64 at the moment.
101 points.
Yeah, that's okay. And I still got, you know, a lot of teams. Young Ho Koo, baby. He's going to get me 50 points tomorrow. Okay, so, all right. Hey, enjoyed. Jacob, enjoyed the show. AJ, thanks for a great show. Folks, you guys have a great weekend. Happy holidays and all of that great stuff. And make sure you check us out on the podcast. All right.